Tonight, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. When we had Sherry's memorial service, she had two favorite verses, which was Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. And we're going to use part of that passage tonight. But tonight, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 34 through 39. And the title of my sermon tonight is Unshakable Love. Unshakable Love. Romans chapter 8, verses 34 through 39. And in our text, the Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. I believe that's Psalm 44, verse 12. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, this passage causes us to reflect on God's love. We've been talking about God's Word this morning. And what did the Lord want Joshua to have? He said, be what? Be strong and very courageous. We also need to understand the most telling characteristic of God, which is His love. And a way of introduction here is when we think of God's love, we must think of the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. John writes again in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 10. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So as much as we have to have the Word of God in us, we have to have the love of God in us in order to be part of God's family. It says, for God is love. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to wink His eye at sin. That doesn't mean that He's not going to correct us. Whom He loveth, He what? Also chasteneth. And so we need to understand that love is not a free pass to do whatever we want to do. That's what the world thinks. Okay? It says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. There is no life spiritually unless you have Christ. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My sins, your sins, the world's sins, put Christ on the cross. And we need to understand the love that motivated God to do that. That is the biggest example of God's love. It is the cross. But when we think of God's love, we must think of the cross. When we think of God's love, we must think of its eternal characteristics. Because if any man love God, His love is in us, and we need to be like that. We need to have that love too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, it says this, charity or love suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Does that sound like you? If it doesn't, you've got a problem. You need love better. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And here's the eternal part. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We need to understand that when we think of God's love, we have to consider the cross. But when we think of God's love, we need to understand the characteristics of God's love. And it's all found here in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, now these three are this, but the greatest of these is what?
Love.
The other two are faith and hope. So when we think of God's love, we must think of its characteristics. And it's a barometer to see if we're loving like God loves us. Thirdly, when we think of God's love, we must think of its reach. We must think of its expanse, the extent of it. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, this is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. And it's a prayer that we all need to have for one another. He says, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Love. That's what makes us go. We need to be rooted and grounded. And then if you're rooted and grounded, just like we talked about this morning, if we meditate on this word, it allows us to do what God wants us to do God's way. And it helps us to understand the why of this. But look at verse 18. May be able to comprehend. That's understanding, folks. With all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the what? The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. So those are things that we need to understand. When we think of God's love, you have to think of the cross. When you think of God's love, you have to think of its characteristics. When you think of God's love, you have to need the reach and the extent of God's love. So tonight we turn back to our text. And there are three points in this text tonight when we look at this. In verse 34, we see the advocate who never fails. The advocate who never fails. The verse starts out with what? Who is he that condemneth? It says, it is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There is no greater person but the God-man, Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that we sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the who? The righteous. Folks, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, we would still have our sins to pay for. If Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, we would have no hope. If Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, offering us eternal life, it's over. There is no greater person than Christ. He's the advocate that never fails. No one can condemn. We have the ultimate trial lawyer. We have the ultimate trial lawyer. Not only is there is no greater person, there is no greater power than Christ. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, John sees this and he says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the what? Power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I like the scene in the book of Zechariah. We studied the book of Zechariah. And Josiah, the high priest, is standing in front of God. And he has filthy garments. And there's Christ, the angel of the Lord, Christ on one side. And then there is Satan on the other side. And basically God, the Father, through Christ says, give him new garments. And so Christ gives Josiah new, fresh garments. He puts a fair mitre on his head and says, it's gone. Your iniquity is purged. It's no more. It's no more. There is no greater person. There is no greater power than our advocate. He wins every court case. He can cover all your sins. He can provide grace for everything you need and supply all your need according to His riches and glory. And there is no greater protector. There is no greater protector. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need to understand the love of God redeems us. The love of God put Christ on the cross. The love of God raised Him from the dead. The love of God put Him on the right hand of God. The love of God made this universe. The love of God made you. Amen. And folks, we have an advocate that sets everything in order. So we have an advocate who never what? Fails. He never failed. It is Christ that died, but rather that is risen again, who makes intercession for us. In verses 35 through 37, the adversaries that will never win. The adversaries that will never win. This morning, as we went through Joshua chapter 1, you know, Joshua's task was just beginning. It was a large task to get all the promised land. And he says, there's going to be people getting away. There will be people getting in the way. And it's, when we talk about this, we know with Joshua's case, and this morning is about the Word of God. But in this passage here, there is a question that we must know the answer to. And it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer is, no. Nothing. There is no greater person. There is no greater power. There is no greater protector than Jesus Christ Himself. It is the answer that quells all fears. And you know what that answer is based on? It's based on love. John, 1 John chapter 14, verse 18 says this, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out what? All fear. See, we need to love God so much that we don't think of anything else. That nothing can come between us. That nothing. Because fear hath what? Torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And Paul writes here, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, what fears? And then he lists them. He lists them. Shall tribulation? No, does a little bit of our adversity in our lives cause us to just roll up in a little ball and die? Where's our faith? Remember the disciples? I bet you every time they got in a boat, they said, what's going to happen next? Every time they were in a boat, there was always something. Storm, or storm, or storm. They weren't getting anywhere. And then what did it always come up to be? Oh, ye of what? Little faith. Little faith. See, or distress. How many of you are distressed? You have something that's bothering you in your life. That can't separate you from the love of God. You think you might be standing alone, but God's with you. He loves you that much. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Folks, for those who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those cause great fear. Those cause great fear. And see, we have the answer that will quell all fears. John chapter 16, verse 33. Christ, before he goes to the cross, tells his disciples what? He says, these things have I spoken with you, that in me you might have what? Peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Okay? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, we need to understand that our faith can conquer. Why do we live in defeat? We have the Word of God. We have God rooted us on. Be strong and be very courageous. Understand that I love you this much and even more than that. Psalm 118 verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Folks, we have a choice. We have a choice. If we fear about things, we turn our back to God, that's a choice. But if we turn our face to God and love Him, that's a choice. And we need to do that. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Peter finally gets it. Took him a while, but he finally gets it. And it says, and who is he that will harm you? Folks, Paul's saying this. Christ is saying this. The prophets are saying this. David said this. Peter's saying this. We need to listen to it. We need to listen to it. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness, hey, happy. Finally, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their what? Terror. See, Satan goes around seeking whom he what? May what? Devour and destroy. He has no power over you. He wants to make you think he does. But he doesn't.
Amen.
But he doesn't. And be not afraid of their terror. Neither be what? Troubled. God's got you. Be strong and very courageous. So as the adversary is never win, it's a question that we must know the answer to, and it's the answer that quells all fear, and is based on our faith that will conquer. Our faith can conquer. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, and whatsoever is what? Born of God, overcometh the world. You have some spiritual battles and you never seem to win, maybe you're not spiritual. Maybe you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to experience His love. Maybe you have the Holy Spirit in you. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth, that Jesus is the Son of God. So, the adversaries that will never win. They can't win. Thirdly, there's the affection that will never depart. There's the affection that never departs. In our passage here it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature can be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in what? Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, this starts out, as we talked about with Sherry's memorial service, it brings confidence. She was convinced and persuaded because she experienced God's love. And it does bring confidence. It brings confidence to trust. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for this which cause I suffer, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I don't hold this against God. I'm not holding a grudge. I want these things to happen so that the power of God can rest on me. And he says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's confidence. Amen. And a lot of us get scared because we just don't have confidence. So it brings confidence to trust. It brings confidence to be tested. Ah, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, let you see that if you want to. And it brings confidence to be tested. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this. Being confident is what? Very thing that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. His love starts that. His love will finish that. And when he finishes, his love still be there.
Amen.
And you'll be in his presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and what? Willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded that this really works in your life? If it works in your life, we'll live like it. We'll live like it. It's an affection that will never depart. You know, the psalmist says, if I go into the depths of hell, you're there. Go in the highest heaven, you're there. If I go in the depths of the sea, you're there. You're there! God's love is that great. You can't get away from it. You can't get... Would you ever want to get away from it?
No.
You should. You should. So it's the affection that will never depart, and it brings confidence to trust and to be tested. Secondly, it brings courage. Same thing we were talking about this morning. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. This is Moses talking to the entire nation of Israel in the wilderness. This is not a one-on-one conversation. This is not between Moses and Joshua. This is for everybody. This is for us. This is for us. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid for them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And that was passed on from Moses to Joshua. And then Joshua, in his dying day, in his last days, passed it back on to him. He said, this is what you need to do. Folks, love God. Keep his commandments. Do those things. It's the affection that will never depart. It brings confidence. It brings courage. And lastly, it brings contentment. It brings contentment. It brings contentment in the security of your position in Christ. In the security of your position in Christ. You're in the palm of God's hand. In John chapter 10, we're starting that Wednesday night. Starting that chapter. Probably won't get this far. But in John chapter 10, verses 28 through 29, it says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, what? Perish. Then why would you worry about these things if you'll never perish? You know, there's a story the preacher was held up one day. He says, if you don't give me what you have, I'm going to kill you. And the preacher said, well, you'd be doing me a favor. Why? Because you'll make me go to my God. Didn't rob me. See, when confronted with the truth and confronted with God's love, there is no answer. There is no answer. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, all of our battles are spiritual battles, but the ages are mankind. And we need to understand what Christ is saying here. He says, you're secure in me. You are sheltered within the arms of God. And so it brings contentment in the security of your position in Christ. Secondly, all right, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep their hearts and minds through Jesus, towards Christ Jesus." It gives you contentment in the serenity of your position in Christ. See, once Christ saves you, you're always saved. Right. You can't lose your salvation. It's a gift of God. He's never going to take it back.
Amen.
There's nothing that you have to do to keep it. You got everything you need. And He'll love you to the uttermost because He saves to the uttermost. And with their salvation, there's always love. And that gives us peace, serenity, because of our position in Christ. It says, "In the peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So there's a simple question tonight. We answer these questions. Who is he that condemneth? No man. We sin, we condemn ourselves. We're judged by that. Okay? And if our heart condemns us not, we have what? Confidence for God. Who can separate us from the love of God? No one. No one. Folks, that should change the way we live. Having that confidence and having that makes us strong, and that makes us have good courage and be very courageous. But do you know the love of God? Do you know Him as your Savior? That's the first thing. In order to understand the love of God, you must understand the cross. And if you understand the cross, then you must be like God. And you must have His characteristics. And we need to start comprehending the reach of God. He is our advocate. Amen. There is no adversary that will win. And He loves us to the end of eternity. And He'll never change. What a confidence that should give us. Amen. Do you know Him as your Savior? If you do, let's live like that. Amen. Amen. Let's love Him as He loves us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. And help us to love You with a fervent love, a pure love, a love that looks like Yours. We ask that Your truth would change us tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name.